Welcome to the Salem Baptist Church Podcast. Join us now as Dr. Jeff Beckett delivers our weekly worship service message.
Thank you, musicians. Thank you so much. On a weekend like this, when everybody else kind of scatters and takes breaks and is doing other things, you guys prepare and come and lead us in worship. We really appreciate you. You know, it is a holiday weekend, and I need to confess something. I'm a little worried about you. I know some of you scatter and you do some really crazy things, and I want you to be safe tomorrow when you have your day off work. I hope you get a day off work, and I want you to be really careful. I know some of you are going to be traveling to exotic locations, and while there, you may just get a little crazy and decide to pull the tail of the tiger, but I want you to try your best to be wise and discerning wherever you end up. Some of you are going to be looking for some downtime. You're just going to be like, I just want to relax and catch up on my reading. And even in that, there's a wise way to do that, and there's a foolish way to do that. And I want to encourage you to be wise and discerning as you relax. Some of you are headed to the beach probably. The collective is down there even this morning on retreat. And you might be tempted to jump in and take some selfies with the wildlife. I'd like to strongly encourage you to be wise and discerning. Some of you maybe perhaps will be doing some home projects. Maybe that add-on to your back porch, expansion of your deck. You might even be tempted to call the neighbor over to see if he could help you out a little bit. Please make sure and check his credentials before you do that. Some of you, I know, will want to get out and get more in touch with nature. Just sort of reach out and get in touch with, you know, the outdoors. You've probably noticed a common theme, and the common theme is, as human beings, we can be absolutely and ridiculously foolish sometimes. We don't even have to try very hard. Sometimes it just kind of comes naturally, which is a segue in to a curious chapter in the Bible, which happens to be our subject today. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 1. And in just a few moments, you're going to meet some new characters in the Bible. We've been studying our way through the life of David here in 1 Samuel. And David's going to meet two brand new people, first time he meets them in this chapter. And they couldn't be more different. One of them is the most foolish, ridiculous person. He's taking selfies with sharks and kissing crocodiles on the forehead. He's that ridiculous. His name, Nabal, even means foolish. And everything about him is a train headed for a derailment. And now here's a spoiler alert. Nabal isn't going to survive this chapter. By the time we get to the end of this chapter, he's a dead man. Now, we're going to meet another character, and it's Nabal's wife, and her name is Abigail. Now, let me tell you about Abigail. She couldn't be more different from her husband. She's wise and lovely, and she's generous and gracious, and she lives her life in an entirely different way. In fact, you get the impression she spends a great deal of her life sort of cleaning up after the messes that her husband creates by his surly, nasty, evil behavior. And so in our story today, Nabal, the fool, is going to create a mess like that with the future king of Israel, David. And Abigail gets to clean up after it. And so as we study this, that's all very historical. That's all a bunch of stuff happening in 1000 BC. The question is, what does it mean to us? And the answer is everything. Because before this day is over, your life is going to branch out numerous times, and you're going to have an opportunity to decide, I'm going to live my life wisely with discernment. Under the sovereignty of God, I'm going to make good choices. I'm going to honor my God, and I'm going to honor the people around me, and I'm going to live respectfully. I'm going to honor my parents. Or you're going to have the choice, I'm going to live foolishly. I'm going to live ungratefully. I'm going to live destructively. And it would be nice if that was just, I became a Christian when I was 7. It would be nice if I could say, yeah, that's a decision I made when I was 7. I don't have to worry about that anymore. That's just not true. That's a decision you've got to make pretty much multiple times a day. So, our story today is steeped in ancient Middle Eastern cultures of hospitality and generosity, and a lot of it we're going to read and we're going to think, oh, that has nothing to do with living in the 21st century. However, through all of the cultural differences, it's very clear some basic principles of wise and foolish living are on display, and that's what I want us to grab a hold of today as we meet Nabal, the ultimate fool. And here's what's ironic about that. You're going to notice something. Nabal is incredibly successful. I mean, he's making a killing. He's one of the wealthiest men in central Israel when we meet him. Isn't it funny that you could have that much stuff, that much success, and still be at your very core a surly, ungrateful, and foolish person? But it can happen. So today, I want us to be thinking a little bit about all of that. Now, there's a third character in the story. We've followed his life alone from the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1, and his name is Samuel. And before we get to the story of our two characters, Nabal and Abigail, we get to see the final words really written about the namesake of the book we've been studying. And it's in chapter 25 and verse 1. It's on the screen right now. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 1, now Samuel died. Isn't it ironic that the guy whose name is given to the book, the guy who first several weeks of this study, we were reading everything about, this is all he gets, the first half of verse 1. Now Samuel died and all of Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. And so before we go on to the heart of our story today, it would be a shame if we didn't just take a moment to pay tribute to Samuel, the namesake of the book. Samuel ran his race in a way we would all be wise to imitate. And so on a morning when we're talking about Nabal, living your life like a fool, Abigail, living your life with wisdom and discernment. How appropriate to just mention at the beginning, there's this guy named Samuel, and he lived his life in a way that we should imitate. From the womb, where he never should have been because his mother couldn't have children, but she entreated of the Lord, and God sovereignly decided to open her womb. From the womb to the tomb, he was devoted to God. Speaking of a Memorial Day kind of a weekend, it was President Abraham Lincoln who, in talking about the war dead of his generation, said, and these have given the final full measure of their devotion to their nation. And I was thinking about that on a weekend like this. I was thinking about what that would mean to give the final full measure of devotion to your God. And then I thought, you know, that's kind of what Samuel did. The Bible says, right when King Saul announced that David was the future king, that Samuel died. He was like a distance runner who was bearing a message, and as soon as the message got to its destination, he was done. Paul talks about that in the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wouldn't it be cool to come to the end of your journey and no matter what you'd accumulated, what you'd accomplished, no matter what was hanging on the walls or sitting in your garages, wouldn't it be cool if you could say, I have fought the good fight. I didn't surrender. I finished the race. I didn't quit. And I kept the faith. I didn't deny. And I didn't fall away. And henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing. So our chapter, though it's a story of wisdom and foolishness and two people named Nabal and Abigail, I just wanted to make sure we took a moment to mention the death of Samuel in verse 1. So we move on to the story of the morning, and it begins in the second half of verse 1, and we begin to read. So David rose. The implication is he was there at the festivities and the grieving in the morning for Samuel. And so he's leaving Ramah. David rose and he went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. And the name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail. The woman was discerning, beautiful. But the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. Tells us what tribe he was a part of. Now, we don't have time to read every single verse because it's quite a few in this particular chapter. But here's the gist of this. Nabal and his servants, several of his servants who tend the flocks in the outer pastures, have been living in David's area, and David's been taking care of them and feeding them and protecting them. And so now David is sending some people who are going to be staying near Nabal, and he's saying, could you reciprocate, please? Could you take care of these men of mine? And so they go to Nabal. Verse 9 records it, and they go to him with this request from David. Here's how it goes. When David's young men came, they said all of this to Nabal in the name of David. And then they waited. And then Nabal, remember, richest guy in central Israel, his own men have been getting cared for by David there near Carmel. And Nabal answered David's servants, and he said, who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants these days breaking away from masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who came from I do not know where? Verse 12 says, so David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. Like an incredible insult in the ancient world. I know as insults go today, it wouldn't stand up that well. But David's been doing everything to take care of his men. Nabal refuses to reciprocate and shows no hospitality and insults David's heritage and lineage. And so the young men turn away. They come back and they tell him all of this. And David says to his men, every man strap on his sword. Have you ever been in that situation where somebody disrespected you and your first response was, strap on the sword? I know not literally. I hope most of you don't even own a sword. But figuratively speaking, have you ever been in that situation where somebody did you wrong, or at least you perceived it, and your first impulsive response is, I have got to get some vindication. Strap on the sword. So far, David has acted really wisely in every story we've seen him, but I think we have found his Achilles heel. He doesn't want anyone to disrespect him, and he's about to do something really stupid. I mean, he's on his way to commit mayhem and murder over this. Make no mistake about it. David said to his men, every man strap on his sword. And every man of them strapped on his sword. And David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail. Now, she hadn't been there. She didn't observe Nabal's insults. She didn't know what happened. So one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master. And he railed at them. Verse 15. Yet the men were very good to us. We suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields. I know that's an awkward sounding phrase in English, but what he's saying is, and when we were over living in their territory, they took perfect care of us. We didn't miss meals. We didn't miss anything. They didn't steal any sheep. Everything was fine as long as we were with them. They were a wall to us both by night and by day. All the while, we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his house. And he, meaning Nabal, is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. So I just want to stop there. I want to consider Nabal for a minute, because we've all got Nabals in our life, and I'm going to be honest and confess that I have been a Nabal before. He is the very epitome, the synonymous idea of what foolishness is. The Hebrew word for fool is Nabal. Now, I can't believe that his parents named him fool. I can't believe that that would have happened. So I can only assume that they probably named him some similar root that was non-pejorative. And because of the way he lived, everybody just over time just called him Nabal. He's a fool. And when we think about what that means, I think it's important to sort of get the scriptural sense of what that looks like. Nabal was a fool because he thought all of his stuff, all of his business acumen, all of his success, all of his accumulations, all of his accomplishments actually defined his worth. And when I think about that, you know what? A lot of us are like that. A lot of us sort of convince ourselves, well, I've got these titles out beside my name. I've got these degrees. I've successfully accomplished this in my field. And, you know, that gives me a sense of who I really am and a sense of who you really aren't, by the way. And that's how Nabal looked at his world. Funny to come to learn one day that it isn't my stuff that determines my worth, but it's the substance of my relationship with God through Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that it is not your stuff that determines your worth in this world, but it's the substance of your relationship with God through faith in Christ? Nabal was a fool because he never figured out that whole God thing. And in spite of God's abundant blessings, in spite of the fact that Nabal was probably the wealthiest man in central Israel, he lived an angry, evil, surly, ungiving life. Even though his people had been taken care of by David, as soon as they show up and say, hey, can you help us? He's like, no, my food, my wine, my meat, my shears. Did you catch that verse? He used the word my 4 times in that one verse. Are we ever this way? God has abundantly blessed us, and all it makes us want to do is just hold on tighter. Nabal was a fool because he had no sense of the activity of God around his life. He was oblivious to the insults he had just hurled at the future king. The Bible tells us he proceeded to then go into a giant party and get drunk. He had no idea that an army was coming at him with swords strapped on, ready for vengeance. He had no sense of the fact that as a future king, be a good situation to offer generosity and graciousness. Nabal was a fool. Now, David once wrote something about fools. These are the words of David. He wrote them in Psalm 14. And the first verse of Psalm 14 is, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, it doesn't say the fool says with his lips, there is no God. That could be a foolish thing to do too. That's not what it says, though. It says the fool says in his heart. And you can say something in your heart in a whole variety of ways. For example, you can live without regard to the will or the purposes of God. You may believe in a God you just disregard him. David would say, that makes you a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I just want us to think about these three things on this screen right now, because while we can sort of shake our head at a person like Nabal, the truth is we can be a person like Nabal. And if we are, we got to decide there's got to be a better way. So let's read a few more verses. There's another character in this story, and she sort of redeems the whole chapter for us. She comes to the rescue. You get the feeling she has to do this a lot after her husband. And her name is Abigail, and verse 18 tells us a little more of the story. Then Abigail made haste, and she took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seis of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs. She laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, go on before me. Behold, I will come after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And when Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey, and she fell before David on her face, and she bowed to the ground. Verse 24 says, she fell at his feet, and she said, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt, which of course is ridiculous. She wasn't even there when Nabal made a fool of himself. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. I know that's funny English, but she just said, King, would you listen to something I need to say to you? Would you hear me out? Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Verse 26, she says, now then, my Lord, as the Lord, as Jehovah lives, and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. All right, so get what just happened. David's been insulted. He says, strap on the swords, boys. And he starts riding to Nabal's, you know, it would have been like a small city with all the servants and everything that he owned. Abigail gathers everything in the storehouse that she can find, puts them on beasts of burden, sends them ahead of her. So they arrive at David, and David stops, and the young servants are like, our master's wife is coming. And Abigail arrives, and she bows before David, and she says, I'm so sorry for what's happened. She says, but if you'll hear me out, God's up to something. Jehovah is going to do something interesting in your life today. He's going to use me to stop you from making a big mistake. Something that'll hang over you forever. So listen to what I have to say. What grace. Under pressure. It's absolutely incredible. She says, now let this present, all this stuff I brought, that your servant has brought to my Lord, be given to the young men who follow my Lord. And please forgive the trespass of your servant. And then she even follows it up with one little bit more of spiritual wisdom. Oh, by the way, I should say something. The rabbis in rabbinical tradition, as they teach Jewish history, they sort of have a pantheon, let's call it a Mount Rushmore, of 4 amazing women in Jewish history that they consider the most beautiful and wise women in Jewish history. And the first one is Sarah. The second, believe it or not, is Rahab. The third one is Abigail. And the fourth is Esther. They considered these women like the Mount Rushmore. And so whenever you talk about Abigail in Jewish history, it's like, oh, she was the most beautiful and wise. So verse 30, and when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and he has appointed you prince over Israel, she says, one day you're going to be king. My Lord shall have no cause of grief or pains of conscience for having shed blood without cause or for my Lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. She says, Keen, one day you're going to thank me that I stopped you out here today. Because there was going to be a lot of blood and guilt on your hands if I hadn't. Let's see how David responds. Verse 32. So David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion. Blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to me, truly by the morning, there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male. David says, we were going to kill every man. Verse 35. Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, Go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition. So we were to meet two characters particularly today. Nabal, the very epitome of a fool, who didn't realize everything he had was a blessing from God to be shared, who didn't realize that God was up to something, that he was raising David up as the future king. He didn't realize anything because all he could see was, here's what Nabal wants, and here's what Nabal needs, here's what Nabal owns. And then we meet Abigail. By the way, Abigail is a conjunction of three Hebrew words that mean, my Lord is love. A little bit of a different thing right from the start. And her very nature is gracious and wise and compelling. She's the epitome of calm grace under pressure. Where her husband said, this is all mine, she brings everything from her storehouses and offers generously. Even though it's not her neck on the line, it's all these servant boys and her husband. You might imagine she wouldn't have minded getting rid of this husband. But instead, she runs generously in advance, stops David in his tracks, and rescues the situation. You are blessed if you've got an Abigail in your life. Because it's so tempting, so often, when someone has done you wrong, to strap on the sword and head for battle. If you've got someone in your life saying, hey, wait a minute. Give the Spirit of God a little chance to operate here. Because what happens is our flesh gets so involved in a situation that we ruin the situation. We ruin the relationship. We ruin the working relationship with an employer or a boss or employee. We ruin the neighborhood relationship. Because our flesh gets in the way and we give no room for the Spirit of God to work. She acts generously, rescuing a situation, even though it really wasn't of her doing and her neck wasn't on the line. She acts humbly, taking responsibility for something that really wasn't her fault. She acts spiritually. She says to the king, the future king, one day you're going to see that God has control over these kinds of things. You don't have to... You know how they kept using, three times they used the phrase, save this situation with your own hand? What she was saying to him was, you're going to run in there and get ahead of God. God has a plan for Nabal. God has a plan for you, David. Don't get ahead of it. And she acts spiritually. Even though everybody around her, including the future king, was acting rashly and foolishly, it says in the New Testament that we should make every effort to avoid worthless, and the Greek word means without point or empty, and foolish talk. Because it only leads to more godless behavior. You get the sense that the verse is saying there's a snowball effect. When we get around a foolish person and we reciprocate, that just foolishness builds upon foolishness. The Bible says this kind of talk spreads like cancer. So I want us to read the end of the story and be done with our story for the morning. And so in verse 36, we see how this all plays out. It might surprise you if I hadn't already given you a little bit of a spoiler. So Abigail came to Nabal. David has relented, turned around, accepted the peace offering. Abigail comes to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house. He was oblivious. He had no idea. Like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him. He was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. And in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things. His heart died within him. He became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Verse 39 says that when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and kept back his servant from wrongdoing." David said, "God had this under control the whole time, and I almost completely blew it. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." And David sent and he spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. And when the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife." And she rose and bowed her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey. And her five young women attended her, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. And in conclusion, we've looked at two really dramatically different ways to just deal with the day-to-day things that come up in everybody's life. Multiple times before this day is over, your life is going to branch, and it's going to branch in the direction of your choices to make wise and discerning and godly choices, or to make unwise and foolish choices. And so before that next selfie with the shark, before that next kiss on the forehead of the gator, just consider there is a sovereign God. Just consider what it means to live in the blessing of his wisdom and his word and his counsel. And so I can't think of a better way to close the sermon than to just think about, what did the word of God just tell us this morning? And here's what it told me. It told me this: much like Nabal, my life, whatever I've accumulated, whatever great things I've done, whatever great things hang on the wall, whatever great amounts sit in bank accounts, whatever great trophies and ribbons and awards and all of that's going to be over like that. It's going to be over. Whatever you accomplish, whatever you earn, Nabal was smart enough to make, by his day's standards, millions and millions. But he wasn't smart enough to be prepared for the day after his last day on earth. Are you? Your life and your stuff will be gone in a blink. And then who you really are is what remains of you. A life of gracious generosity is going to pay dividends sooner or later. For Abigail, it just happened to be immediately, and then soon after. And then guess what? A life of faith is going to pay dividends eternally. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there ever been that moment where you thought, you know, I don't just want to be a good person, I want to be God's person. I want to secure my eternity. If you've never put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, what better day than on a day like Memorial Day to know, that you absolutely know that you're secure eternally? Because in a blink, just like that, Nabal had no idea in the middle of that giant party, that feast, that in 10 days he was a goner. He had no idea. I don't have any idea what's headed my way this evening, tomorrow. You don't either, by the way. Are you ready? The first best way to do that, to get ready, is to know that you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Don't be foolish. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." I don't see anybody in this room that really looks foolish. Let's pray. God, we cry out to you for mercy, for help in the midst of our struggle. Look at an old historical story like this, steeped in a culture that's so far removed from us. But we see the same elements, the things that can make us foolish, the things that can make us wise. God, we need your help. Forgive us. Forgive us for putting so much stock in our accomplishments and our stuff that we miss your activity. We miss what you're doing and what you're saying. We don't listen. We give you no regard. We act foolishly in this life. Forgive us, God. Help us to see that in a blink, everything we thought was so important is gone. And then what's left is you and us and where we spend eternity. Today, if you'd like to talk with someone about faith, maybe you got questions about what being a Christian is, maybe you just have questions about faith itself. Maybe today you brought a big old giant prayer burden with you to church and you'd really just like to have someone to pray with. Immediately following our service, we've got folks who are going to be in our response room area, Pastor Wesley, deacons. Just absolutely, they'd love to talk with you and encourage you if you need to stop by. I hope that you'll do that before you leave our campus. Can we stand and sing this closing chorus as we go? Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast by Dr. Jeff Beckett. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.